Perhaps the most well-known Christian moral teaching given by our Lord in this gospel today, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you, etc. And we hear it so often that it can kind of become a bland teaching in our minds. We say, yeah, you know, I know, I'm supposed to love my enemies. But usually when we reference this teaching, it's in this context. We say, I know I'm supposed to love my enemy, but etc., you know. How can it be applied to this person, right? Or that person, or this group, or that group? Surely the Lord doesn't expect that. Well, yeah, he does. Yep. It's exactly what he's talking about, in fact. He's not just saying, also include your enemies in your love. He's saying specifically your enemies. Search out those who revile you, or those to whom you have an aversion, and do good to them. And he gives the reason why. It's not just some challenging teaching by which he's testing us. He says, that's exactly how God acts towards each of us. God is constantly forgiving and showering blessings and his generosity upon his enemies. You know, when we sin gravely, we make ourselves enemies of God. And even when we don't sin gravely, even our small sins turn us further and further away from God. So every beat of our heart, every breath we take, every moment is an act of love and generosity and mercy from our all-loving God to those who are often his enemies. So he's saying, if God, if the Heavenly Father does this to you, of course you ought to imitate this to others. God is always giving to the ungrateful. You know, how often do we really show that gratitude? How often do we recognize how literally every single moment of our lives is sustained by an act of love by God. And yet we exclude so many people out of our realm of who is worthy to love. We place so many limits on that. We say, I love people, but there's a limit. You know, we love when we are praised and lauded for helping others. We love the good feedback and the recognition. And it makes it even better when the person themselves is very grateful. And it's very easy for us to say, oh no, don't worry about it. I don't expect anything. But we really do. You know, think about how often we mess up an act of charity by either mentioning it later or griping about it later. You know, someone does some evil to you, and you, like a holy martyr in the moment, say, I forgive you. And then a couple minutes later, you tell your friend, I just forgave this jerk. You won't believe what he did, right? Totally ruins it. I probably can't count on one hand, or probably can't even think of one perfect example of, in my life, actually loving an enemy in the way that our Lord describes here. You know, there are all kinds of situations in which you maybe look past someone that hurt you, or you forgive them, but it's so easy to mess it up. It's so easy to do it out of a sense of pride instead of real love for your enemy. It's easy to do it with a kind of a martyr complex too, that really you are seeing yourself as this amazing person by forgiving someone. But if we want to love in imitation of God's love, we need to seek out those who are unable to pay us back, those who are unable to do anything in return. To seek out and to persevere in seeking out and to persevere in doing good and loving those who continue and persevere in reviling us or hating us or persecuting us. It's not like he says, love your enemies and then everything will be great and they'll love you back. No. Continue to love them even if they continue to hate you. That's not just people on the fringe of our love. That is what our Lord is pointing us towards. Find those people and love those people. Specifically, because if we receive payment, if we receive praise, if we receive effusive gratitude from those to whom we do good, that falls under the heading of receiving our reward in this life. The saints always tried to hide or mask the goodness of their deeds. They always tried to seek out those who were unable to repay them. They wanted to find those least lovable. They wanted to find those who were least able to do anything good, and those who were seen by many to be unwanted, to be crude, to be wicked, and to search them out and love them. That's the most meritorious kind of love there is, because it's the most godlike. Because God's love towards us is love of sinners, love of those who, either through thoughts, words, actions, many times during the day, turn away from God. So the only godlike kind of love there is to, or the most godlike kind of love there is to love those with whom you would finish this sentence. I know I'm supposed to love my enemy, but whatever names you would insert there, whether it's one person in particular, or 20, right, or thousands, right, whatever name you would insert there, that is the person or the group of people that the Lord is calling you to love. That was scary. Anyway, and the end might be near. So we need to look at the basics, right? This is a basic teaching, and we all say, yeah, yeah, love your enemies. Don't judge. But it's a really intensely difficult teaching to follow. And, you know, this other very, very basic teaching, stop judging and you will not be judged, which everyone, even if they know nothing of Scripture, knows that line, right? So it's one that's thrown about, thrown in your face very often, you know. You say something or disagree with something or whatever. Say, Christ said, don't judge. Well, yes, he did. And the saints always tried to excuse the interior disposition of someone who is doing something wicked. Right? The saints always avoided judging the interior life of a person. But judging good from evil, right? Judging true from false, that's a judgment that we are called to make as creatures endowed with intellect, right? We're supposed to discern good from evil. And so there are lots of good people that have terrible ideas. Right? But to not judge and to love your enemy, you need to be able to make that distinction. Because think about how effective that would be and how helpful that would be in our current political, cultural, moral climate to actually do this. To be able to separate ideas from persons and say, I love you, but this is a dangerous idea and these are the reasons why. To actually make excuses for someone and to assume the most charitable intention possible, like the saints did. You know, the saints, people even thought it seemed ridiculous at sometimes what the saints would do to excuse those who were hurting them or hurting others. You know, a saint could get punched in the face and say, well, I probably made that happen somehow, or they're probably having a bad day, you know. But that's the extent to which they would go to excuse someone's interior life so that they could continue to love them. Right? That's how God is with us. His mercy is infinite. All we need to do is spend a few minutes telling God what we did, and he forgives us, even if a billionth time he continues to forgive us. And that's how we do it with our neighbors. We excuse their interior disposition because we have no way of knowing it. And we love them, right? We love them in the same way that God loves us sinners. So while this is a basic teaching, we need to consider whether or not we even have this very basic teaching covered. How many times have we actually expressed and lived out this kind of love? Because if we all did, I mean, imagine how different things would be in the way our public discourse goes and the way our political situation is and the way we just discuss important matters in general. Our goal and aim most of the time is to tear the other down, not even to seek any kind of good, but to tear the other down and to look good by comparison. That's the exact opposite of loving your enemy. You love your enemy to raise them to good, not to tear them down, right? We shouldn't tear them down. So this is not some pie-in-the-sky moral ideal. This is a very practically fruitful and effective way of living. And, as I mentioned before, it's the godlike way to live. So maybe after you receive communion today, think about that statement, you know? Love your enemies, but... And think about what person you'd put in there. And then know that the Lord, who then resides in you, the one who is love itself, is calling you to find practical ways to love that person or those persons or that group of people or whatever it is. We can't escape that. If we want to be godlike, if we want to be united to God by grace, we have to find those people that we consider the most unlovable and find a way to love them. Because we know we would want the same. in the situation in our lives when we have found ourselves or will find ourselves the most wicked or unlovable, we know that God still descends to those depths and raises us up. So we need to do that to others if we expect the same. We say it every day in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a conditional, right? It's a conditional. Unless we're able to love others in the way that God loves us, we can't expect that the Lord will be kind and merciful to us. Right? He expects us to recognize how much He shows that love to us, who oftentimes in our lives are His enemies. And to look at our enemies and say, well, if I've received this love, then absolutely they're worthy of my love, if they're worthy of God's love. So think about the person most difficult for you to love right now, and love them. And know that it's possible, not by any kind of natural effort on your part, but by the burning fire of charity which comes to us in the Eucharist.